Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know, I want to encourage y'all tonight. Don't ever quit coming up for prayer. I'm hearing a lot of testimonies. Well, not as many as I'd like to hear, but I know it's just a matter of time before we get our culture and our church changed. But I'm hearing a lot of people tell me that God is touching their bodies and he's doing a work in them. And several of you that I laid hands on tonight, it was like I could see like our earth is out here right now. It's gotten dry and it gets cracks in it, but that oil goes down in the cracks. And then that, just like the water goes down the cracks, that oil goes down in the cracks and it just begins to do a work in there and just begins to God's doing whatever God's going to do. And you know what? When a good rain comes, then everything gets healed up. You wonder, where'd those cracks go? How did all that move back together? How did that got to go? God's just God. Amen. Amen. So you keep standing, you keep believing, you just keep going, you keep thanking Jesus every day that he's doing a good work in you. Amen. And you just watch it happen. So praise God. Get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to the book of Proverbs chapter 2 tonight. I'm not real sure if this message fits in with Sunday's morning's message or if this message fits in with last Wednesday's message, but I don't really care. It's a great message. So however you want to put it in your notes, whatever you want to do with it, I'm just excited. I'm excited for what God's doing. I got to tell you again, everybody else, Sunday morning, but we got $9,000 in the offering for the septic plant, but we already had, I'd already set aside $10,000, just I'd been sorting off, had there, so that's $20,000 that we needed, which got transferred down there today, which means they got the contract signed, in which they're starting to work, so praise God for that. Brother Ivan got another $15,000, and I told him, I said, that's just about right, you know, we got 20, you got 15, I mean, come on. So I goaded him pretty hard on that. I said, you know, what is it, you know, Utopia's got more faith than you do or what? I don't know. I wrote him pretty hard on it. But anyway, so praise God. We're getting that thing going, getting that project going. But that's the way God is. Amen. God's got a plan and a purpose. And the problem is a lot of times we don't see God's plan and purpose because we're wanting our plan and purpose. We're wanting things to go the way we think they should go. We're wanting things to line up like we think it should line up. We're looking, and what we're doing is we don't even realize it. We're putting ourselves in the position of God and saying how things should be. I mean, that's the truth. We just say, well, Lord, you just need to do this, and if you did that, well, then this would line up, and you know, you just need to do this. You just if you did, and we get into that mode, and whenever you're in that mode and thinking like that, you're not going to get your prayers answered. Because what's happening is you're being the executive secretary to the Holy Ghost and you're trying to tell God what to do. And God's got a plan. What you really need to do is what I want to talk about tonight is we need to find the heart of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need to find the heart of God. And sometimes that takes time because what happens with us is we have to get out of the way. And it takes time for the Holy Spirit to come in and say, excuse me, but can you just move out of the way so I could get this job done? Y'all with me? And so, let's just start right here. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. So why I said this kind of goes along with what I preached Sunday morning, because how can you receive his words if you don't read his word? Right? If you're not dealing in the word, you've got nothing for him to speak to you. If you think that you can hear God when you have never read his word or are not habitually reading his word or habitually hearing his word, you're not hearing God. You're hearing the God that you want to hear. You're hearing, thus saith you. I mean, how would y'all like it if I laid hands on you up here and said, thus saith Robert, in the name of Robert. I mean, y'all would just say, well, Pastor, no. I mean, we like you, we love you and everything, but, you know, come on. I want the name of Jesus. I want the authority of the name of Jesus, not the authority of Robert. I don't want thus saith Robert. That's why boys am so cautious. One of the great concerns, and I'll even say fear in my life, is I don't want to misspeak. I don't want to tell you what Robert said. I want to tell you what Jesus said, because if I tell you what Robert said, we could get some serious trouble. Right? And so that's the deal. My prayer is always, oh, my Jesus, you got to let me speak tonight what you want spoken, not what I want or what I think. And that's why, you know, there's been, some of y'all been in services. There's one night here that I just said, I'm not going to say anything, and I'm sorry. God bless you. We had a good worship service. Praise God. We're going home. I ain't saying nothing. I'm not going to utter anything out of my lips tonight because I'm not 100% sure that I'm on track. Because that just really concerns me. But anyway, you're not going to be able to treasure his commands unless you received his words, and you can't receive his words unless you're in the word, okay? So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, okay, if you cry out for discernment, I got to tell y'all, I'm a few things. You know, there was a time back when I first got saved, and I developed a some problems with my stomach. Man, I mean, I had some stomach issues, and I was just always praying. You know, God, man, you got to heal my stomach, man. I got problems. You know, you got to touch it. I was always just praying. You know, I don't know, understand. I guess I don't have faith to be healed. I don't know what's going on. Man, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you got to heal my stomach. And I just pray over it. Just hurt, burnt, and just, you know, it wasn't like indigestion or something. It was just something different. I was just always praying. And then finally one day, I got to noticing that as I was praying, my prayer changed. And one day I started saying, Lord, you got to show me what's going on. You know, I didn't even think about what I was saying. I said, you just got to show me what's going on, Lord. And I said, why did I say, show me what's going on? I just want you to heal me. Come on, Lord, you heal me. And then I noticed the next day I'd pray the same thing. And then one day I was sitting down to eat breakfast, and the Lord said to me, actually, I'm just going to say it was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, you know, there's two things you have to change in your life. Now, y'all don't take this, because this is my body and me, okay? So forever in the mornings when I was in a hurry and didn't eat breakfast, I would eat. I'd toast two pieces of toast. I'd put peanut butter on top of it and grape jelly. And then when days were even a little more exciting, I'd put some banana on top of that, and I'd eat it like that. And I would drink iced tea, but what did you call it? Instant tea. Lipton instant tea. And I'd drink that. And the Lord said, if you quit drinking tea and you quit eating that for breakfast, all your stomach problems will go away. And I said, really? I mean, I really like it. I always eat that. I really like that. And that was the last day. And like I said, that's probably been 15, 20 years ago. That was the last day I ever drank Lipton iced tea, instant iced tea. I never had a glass since then. And I have fallen off the wagon sometimes, and I will eat some peanut butter, but I never put grape jelly on it. And my stomach problems went away. The point I'm trying to say here is that we have to have discernment in the things in life. Sometimes we can be doing something that is actually making our situation worse, and we don't have the discernment to understand it. Okay? Last week when I was preaching about Paul and Silas and they got thrown into jail, it would have been so easy for them to have just fallen into a griping and complaining mode and just, my gosh, I thought you said you heard God. It would have been so easy for doubt to just come just like a flood into their lives and say, well, I thought you saw some man stand at the end of your bed telling us to come over here and preach, and we just got, you know, got the fire beat out of us, and now we're sitting here in stocks, and you're telling me you heard God? I mean, it'd be so easy for that whole situation to have just flopped over, and, you know, definitely wouldn't have been recorded in the Bible. Nobody would have wanted to know that they did that, right? But because of discernment, they had to have discerned the hand of God in that situation. All right? One is, if you notice, you can read the end of the chapter there, Paul was a Roman citizen, And he would have never been beat and never had to walk in all that if he'd have just pulled the Roman card. But for some reason, they went through that because Paul had to have had some discernment of God's hand was going to move. If they wouldn't have gone through it, we'd have never seen the earthquake. We'd have never seen the doors open. We'd have never seen the miracles. We'd have never had anything to preach on chapter 16. Right? So there has to be discernment. He says in here that we have to cry out for discernment. Not cry out for God to move what we want him to move, but cry out for God to give us discernment. Now, I mean, discernment is just simply, to me, the way I look at the word discernment, is looking past the mud to the truth. Have y'all ever noticed that you can wash the windshield of your car, get it all nice and clean, drive down the road, you won't go 3 or 4 miles, and a bug will hit it, but it'll always hit dead center where you're looking? Now, why is that? I mean, there's some kind of an anomaly that happens like that. It won't hit. There's a whole big windshield all over the whole side. Could hit over on the passenger side. It'll hit dead square where you're looking, right? You get enough bugs on your window, it gets hard to see out of, right? And then you put your windshield wipers on, and you just go to wiping those little bugs around, then you got all that bug oil all over everything, and then you can't see anything, right? Well, that's discernment's needed to get it clear so you can see clear vision of what's going. Discernment's looking past all the Indians screaming and running their horses around your house and all the trauma and all the drama that's going on around you in life that's hooping and hollering and going on, you know, like something's going to happen. Carrie, you know why the Indians always, when they went out to fight, when they got to the Cowboys, they were always so mad and hooped and hollered and rode around like that? Because they were just mad they had to ride paint horses. That was the Thus Saith Robert. Yeah. But we got to have discernment. We've got to pray. In your morning prayer, in your time that you're reading the Bible, you have got to ask the Holy Ghost to reveal to you truth and cry out for it. Say, Lord, no matter what, the greatest thing I want to know in life is I want to know truth. I want to be able to discern between right and wrong. I want to be able to have discernment in my life. But when the Holy Ghost then does speak it to you, you've got to be willing to act on it. Okay? It says, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. You know, I heard a story on a piece of property. It's not around here, but this people owned a piece of property and they'd been doing some research and that somebody had found silver on that property at some point in life. And I asked the people, have y'all ever tried to see if you could find it? I said, we never looked. We don't know if that's really true. If I owned that thing, first thing I'd have done is bought a dozer. Well, I'd been pushing brush down everywhere where we might have thought it could have possibly been just to see if I could find the silver mine, right? I mean, if it's something valuable, you seek it. Right? If you get to the place in your life that the Word of God becomes the most valuable thing that you could have, that discernment and knowing the truth is the most valuable thing of your life, then you're on the right track. Right? Because you will seek it. You will scratch it out. You will find it. You won't take it for granted and say, oh, well, everything's okay right now. I don't really need it. No, you always need more silver. Okay. I'm backing up to verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Then, when you started doing all that, then it comes into an understanding of what that you're honoring God, honoring the Lord in your life and what you're doing because you are putting Him before everything else in life. You're putting Him before everything else in life. It's not, well, what do you think? No, it's like, Jesus, what do you think? Right? And then you'll find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Now look, This is saying that when you get to this place that you're seeking and discernment, you're wanting truth, and you're asking the Lord for this, all of a sudden it begins to protect you. Verse 8, he guards the path of the just, he preserves the way of the saints. All of a sudden, you don't even realize that God is beginning to arrange things so they don't fall on your head. You know, I've heard people say, oh man, you know, we had that wreck because I forgot to pray this morning and ask for protection. Well, I believe with all of my heart that if you're always 100% seeking God and looking for him and studying his word like that, well, then you've got so much word out there before you, it ought to take care of any time that you just didn't pray and say, God, give me some protection. You ought to have this force, this roll, this dust cloud of the Holy Ghost coming wherever you're going, right? Steamrolling every problem and everything out there because it's just going up. Okay. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. So now you're on this path, you're going on that, then all of a sudden you're able to look at paths that come into your life and come before you, and you automatically can tell if they're good or not. You know, it shouldn't take too much wisdom to know, like, okay, do I go to work this morning or just go ahead and rob the bank? Right? I mean, those are biggies. You shouldn't have to have too much discernment for those two. But all of us in life, every day, are making choices. And every choice you make has a consequence with it, good or bad. You with me? You got to know what path to take. And when you get into this steamroller of just... You're just seeking the Lord. You want discernment. You're living this life of taking His Word and reading His Word, and it's coming into your life, and you're asking the Holy Spirit for discernment. The Holy Spirit's also, yeah, don't do that and do this. And yeah, do, oh, yeah, yeah. So all of a sudden, now you're just in this flow. You're just moving and shaking with the Lord as you go down the road of life, and you say, oh, no, this will be the path we want to take. We don't want to go down that path. We want to go down this path. Everybody say, how do you know? I don't know. I just know that's the right path. I have made so many decisions in life that, you know, you're looking at them, you check the pros and the cons of the situation, you know, look at it, mull it all over, and each situation looks equally right. But you have to follow your heart, and you can trust yourself when you're following your heart when you've been doing this, and you got the fear of the Lord, and you're asking for it, and this is your life, because you can say, all right, Lord, I sense this is the way we go. And it'll be the right path, because it'll make sure it is. Discretion will preserve you. This truth coming into you will preserve you, and understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of the evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, and those who leave the paths of right and who leave the paths of uprightness. Folks, listen to me. This day, right now, today, you are not going to find, I don't believe, any other period in of history that more untruth has been spoken into the world and everyone's ears. I don't believe any other time in the world it's been like this. There is untruth going out every day, everywhere, flowing and just blowing out there to get everybody deceived and to get everybody off. But it says right here that understanding is going to keep you and deliver you from the evil way, from the ones who speak perverse things. This discretion, understanding, you're getting from the Word. So again, it's so simple that when you're in the Word and you're seeking God, you're going to hear the truth and you're going to walk in truth. And no matter what anybody else says, it's not going to sidetrack you. Right? You got to have it though. You got to have it. It says, so that they delight in the perversity of the wicked. Those who are crooked are also devious in their paths, to deliver you from their immoral woman, for the seductress who flatters with her word, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Now, I just want to tell you something. This is a side note. This is a little side note. I was reading this the other day, and when I got to discussing it with my wife, and I started laughing because I saw something here about the immoral woman that I never saw before. Because you see, when you read the Word, you can't just read the Word. You got to read the Word and ask the Holy Ghost to speak to you about the Word. Do you notice something here? Delivery from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. So this woman was married at an early age and she had a relationship with Jesus. You get to thinking she was just some old harlot on the street, some old nag with, you know, sitting on the side of the street. Come here. Are y'all with me? But wait a minute. She was married at an early age because it says the companion of her youth. And that she forsook the covenant of her God. So she had a covenant with God. So this is a young married woman who got married at an early age, who had a relationship, had a covenant with God, and then forsook it. So she knew better. That's just a little side note. It says, her house leads to death. Her path are to the dead. None who go into her return, nor do they regain the path of life. So there is a place you can get that you can get so off that no matter if you try to get back, you can't. That's sad. I'm not saying you lost your salvation. What I'm saying is you get so deceived you can't find truth anymore. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the path of righteousness, and the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted. Amen? Okay, now let me show you something. Go to the book of James. Good old James. Chapter 1. Verse 2, it's disturbing to a lot of us, what he said here. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, that just it's like an oxymoron, right? It just should not be the two words. In the joy and trials, they don't go together. Right? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So CW told me a testimony about it had a, his motorcycle broke down, and he was out in the middle of nowhere, and he was praying and asking God to do something. Oh, Jesus, you got to do something. He was praying for his cell phone to work. He was out of power, and he was praying for his cell phone. He said, oh, Jesus, you got to do something. You got to do something. The guy pulls up and stops and says, hey, can I help you? And ended up hauling him all the way to Savannah and getting his trailer and everything he needed. So, you know, God had a different plan. See, he didn't make his phone work so he could call somebody to come get him. He had somebody that he sent by, right? Well, that trial built his faith that God heard his prayer and he answered him. So the next time he's in a trial, he's going to have joy to say, wait a minute, Lord, you delivered me once, you'll deliver me again. That's what it's talking about. Somebody that can just take abuse and smile through it, that is not what that's talking about. It's talking about that you were tested, something happened to you, and you prayed and God delivered you, and it brought you joy, and you saw the deliverance, and so therefore you're ready for the next point or the next trial that comes in your life that you can say, oh, Lord, you delivered me over that situation. You can deliver me over this situation. See? That's what it means. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Well, patience is something that it's hard to just have patience. But if you're going to develop patience anywhere, anyhow in your life, any way patience is going to be developed in you, it's going to be through knowing that faith works. Okay? But let your patience have its perfect, work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Folks, I want to tell you something. If you have a relationship with God that you, what Proverbs 2 is talking about, the fear of the Lord is in you. You're praying for discretion. You're praying for discernment and all that kind of stuff like that. Listen to me. That's when you're coming into a completeness of life and you're beginning to walk in the fullness of what Jesus paid for you on the cross. The greatest confidence you can have is not $10 million in a bank. Greatest confidence you can have in life is to know that your faith works. Right? Because the Bible says money can make wings and fly away. But your faith is in your heart and you always have it with you. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, why is he going back to that? See, he's kind of changed there. He wasn't talking about wisdom. He's talking about going through faith and patience on this. Well, he's talking about wisdom now because he's, you know, I'm saying he's tying it back with what Proverbs 2 said. That if you're praying for wisdom and you're seeking her silver and you're looking for her like that, well then, listen, just ask God. He'll keep giving it to you liberally. That's going to work in your life. You see, it's so simple, we miss it. That morning time or that evening time or that noon time or whatever time you got, when you sit down and read your Bible and you're asking the Holy Ghost to speak to you and show you, you're saying, Lord, this is what I want more than anything in life, that has an effect in your life that begins to just work as a great big wheel working, bringing about blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing and just working in your life and making everything work out through trials. I mean, there has been times, folks, I could tell you story after story all night long of that I thought I had great faith, and then the trial was larger than my faith, and I fell, and, you know, and then God got me up, and I picked myself up by my bootstraps, and I dusted my legs, britches legs off, and I kept going forward, and then I remembered what God delivered me from, and I started all back over, and I got going again, and then all of a sudden, we started seeing victory, and then this, you know, I mean, that's just life. I remember when Joseph was a little boy, fell out of a tree, broke his arm. We were off at a cattle sale in the middle of East Texas, and we were having to come back, and it was a trauma. It was part of the biggest, at that point, the biggest trauma you and I as a married couple had ever faced. Here's our little boy, the compound fracture. We were 6 hours from San Antonio. A doctor couldn't do anything for him back there because he'd eaten, and they said, we've got to put him under anesthesia. He needs a surgeon to set this thing and do it all right, And you might as well go. We didn't have any insurance. We didn't have any money. We were just flat broke. And I said, well, okay, God didn't have a car. Borrowed my mother's car to drive from East Texas to San Antonio with our son in the back. And they gave him just a little bit of Tylenol. And here's his compound fracture and bones just almost protruding through the skin. And so we take off driving and just praying and, you know, just new Christians and just believing God. Oh, you got to do something, God. You got to do something. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're just by faith going to walk and you're going to do something. Well, you know, God opened up amazing doors. All kinds of things happened. We went in there. The best orthopedic surgeon in San Antonio was supposed to be there at that time. And he saw Joseph and went in to work on him and got his arm set. And you know, we got through the trauma, having to let him go and go back to the operating room all by himself. And, you know, all this trauma we were going through, but we're just all the whole time just standing there believing God. Oh, God, you're going to do something. And then time came to pay up, you know, and I didn't have anything. And, but we went down to pay out. And the lady asked, I said, sir, somewhere did I hear that you're a minister? And I said, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, I am. And she said, well, you know, there's just been a grant and it's only been open for 2 weeks and it's going to run out tomorrow. And no one has taken the grant, and it's a grant to help ministers take care of their doctor bills. And I think you can fit on that. And I'm just standing there like numb, just, really? You know, yes, sir, I think you can do this. And so she fills out all the paperwork, does all this kind of stuff. We sign some things, and we just leave. And then sure enough, man, took care of the whole bill. Everything was done. Everything was just, you know, this major, we got some of the best care in the world, and everything was taken care of. And then I remember the day came. Laura said, hey, we got a bill from the doctor. And I said, well, I thought that was all covered. And she said, well, it was the anesthesiologist, and for some reason he's not covered in there. And I said, man, I remember saying it. I remember saying it like it was yesterday. I said, man, our God is so big. If he can do that and get all that bill taken off, he can take care of this bill. Let me see that thing. And I ripped that puppy open and flipped it open and looked at it. It was $450. And at that, it might as well have been $4 million. I looked at that thing and I said, $450. Oh my God, how are we going to ever pay $450? I mean, you know, I just went to pieces. And then I thought, what a sissy you are. But I mean, it hit me like boom in the heart. You know, here God had delivered us. But it was, then the next trial, I wasn't really prepared. I didn't have it, you know. But you know, God delivered us out of that. And he took care of it. It took some time, and we worked it all out, and then God did some miracles, and this came in, and that happened, and all kinds of other crazy things. And then that built our faith, right? It strengthened us to say, hey, our God can take us through this thing. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. But it was the trying of our faith that brought about the patience, which brought about the good work, which brought about the victory, right? But it would have never happened if we had not been walking in the Word. And it's so simple. He put it out there and said, here's the Word, man. Just read it. Get this Word going in. You get this stuff going in so I can speak to him. We can talk and have this relationship and get going. But we're like, oh, that's too simple. We have to produce faith. We've got to see if we can make it happen on our own strength. Surely, are we going to live righteously? We're going to make sure that we do nothing wrong. We're going to live, you know, as Old Testament Christians. Don't eat anything, you know. Oh my God, you ate a shrimp, you're going to die. You brought the curse upon us, you can't do that. We broke covenant. And I'm like, folks, what are you doing? Chill out. Read your Word. Well, that's too easy. Yeah. Why do you think he refers to us as sheep? We're too stupid to do anything else but that. Right? Folks, I don't know if you've been around sheep. Sheep are stupid. I mean, they are stupid. I got them. Have sheep at my house. They're stupid. I look at them all the time. I call them stupid sheep. They're stupid. They can't nothing help them. It don't work. I don't have enough faith for that. That is too great of a miracle of faith to have smart sheep. Are y'all with me? And it's so simple. And we say, oh, we'll just read the Word and let the Word. Oh, that's too easy. No, read the Word. Ask for discernment. Seek for God. Seek for a scratch for a silver. And then all this begins to happen. Oh, you need wisdom? Ask for wisdom and he'll give it to you.
Well, I think I can do this. You know, I can make sure that I'm gonna fast all this week. I'm gonna fast all week, and then everything's gonna happen. Just read the Word.
If God told you to fast, then fast. But I'm telling you, just read the Word. Would you just read your Bible? Just crack open the Bible and read the Bible.
Well, I don't like reading anything.
I've heard that excuse so many times in life.
Well, I just don't like to read. When I read, I just don't quite understand what's going on.
Well, just keep reading until you do understand. You know, it will lock in those brain cells somewhere. You do have some. You're breathing. I can see it. You're not the walking dead. You do have the ability to read it and get wisdom. Are y'all with me? Okay, so he goes on and says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask about it. Gives to all men liberally without reproach. Gives liberally without reproach. But let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For some reason this morning, and I don't know why, I was a little distracted when I was doing my morning reading. Okay? And I would read some, and then I would like, what did I just read? You know? I'm just sitting here looking at words going through, what am I doing? And I had to catch myself. Drink a little more coffee, you know? Catch myself. And I'd say, well, look, you're going to read it again. So I'd start all over. I'd start at the top of the chapter and read it again. Until I get through with this thing, you're going to read this and you're going to ask God to do it. But there was something in my brain. I don't know what, you know. I was just distracted to keep myself on track, to hear and to see what was going on. But I had to force myself to do it. I said, you're going to sit down here and listen, stupid sheep, you dumb sheep. Get over here and read. Right? Because I don't want to be double-minded. And it says that he who asks in faith, but he's doubting. So I don't want to read the Word and not be really reading the Word, because then it could just cause me to be double-minded and everything. All right? It says, verse 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and he's unstable in all of his ways. He's double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. That doesn't mean just a few ways, right? All of his ways, what do you think means all of his ways? So that means you're in trouble. Right? So again, it's there, church. All the wisdom, all the silver, all the gold, it's right there. It's in your hands right now. All you got to do is seek it and read it. And all the wisdom and all the discretion, all the truth will be spoken to you. All your problems will be answered. The questions that you have will be answered. The questions that you haven't even known to ask yet will be answered. Right? The things that you need to correct, yes, they will be shown to you. But the good news is, God will move, your faith will grow, and you'll be stronger. Amen? So I encourage you, take Proverbs 2 and read it again. Stay on it. Read it until just keep asking God to show you more about it. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Let's take up our offering tonight. Ushers can ush. So this Sunday, it'll be Communion Sunday, right? It's our first Sunday. And Pastor Charles Slintz will be here with us, and he'll preach, he'll minister. You know, he's the guy that's in Ethiopia in the Bible college over there, and I have a high respect for Pastor Charles. He pastored for, I think, 32 years or something over in Hondo, fought it out, stayed faithful, and then God gave him a different direction, and now he's in Ethiopia to Bible school. And if there was ever a man that I thought needed to be in a Bible school teaching, it's this man. He's got that gift. He's just methodical in the way he teaches, and he's just unbelievable. And I was talking to him the other day. He's in on for a couple of months to be here. And so I said, no, brother, I want you to come to church. We want to bless you. We want to stand in faith with you and what you're doing over there. And they're just doing amazing things in Africa. And so, praise God. I kind of feel like if we keep him and bless him and support him, then I won't have to go to Ethiopia. So anyway, praise God for that. We'll put your hand over your offering. Lord, I declare that we are blessed people. I thank you, Lord. Your word says that when we give, that it's going to be given back to us. So, Lord, as we sow tonight, we expect. Lord, we got our lookers out, our expectors on. Because you said it, not us. We're not given to get, we're just given to the giver. But, Lord, your word says that Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, and then running over, so we got more to give. So, Lord, I just thank you for blessing people, making ways where they didn't even believe that they had ways, and, Lord, just pouring out in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, anything else?